All right. We've now been joined by our race-winning crew chief, Cole Pern, and race-winning team owner, Coach Joe Gibbs, of the driver, or I should say, of the number 19 Bass Pro Shops Tracker ATVs and Boats Toyota. We'll start with questions. I know we're kind of late tonight and on deadline, so we're going to go straight to questions for Cole or Coach. All right, we'll start up front with Al.
Coach Gibbs, Al Pearson, Auto Week. The obvious question, what's the bigger deal, tonight or Wednesday?
Or Wednesday? I'm trying to think. What happened Wednesday?
It's been a long day, Joe.
Obviously, I'm excited about tonight. Now, for me personally, obviously, the Hall of Fame is such a huge deal. Everybody, this is a good example of how I get pushed out front and get a chance to be in the Hall of Fame when you got race teams like this, crew chiefs like this, and drivers and everybody. It was a great effort tonight by everybody. Our pit crew, I think Cole will talk about everything, but it's just a thrill for me to be a part of it. I'm thrilled to be going in the Hall of Fame, and just a great time for us. I think about, you know, how much God's blessed me and how much I miss JD. I got Coy here with me, and for our family and everything, it's just a huge deal for us and the racing family at Joe Gibbs.
All right, we'll continue with questions. We'll go to Pete.
Pete Iacobelli, Associated Press. Cole, how serious was that tire problem early, or were you just keeping Martin calm there early on, or was it obviously it was a doable situation to get back?
I guess it looks doable now, but you know, at the time it was not good. We sustained quite a bit of damage there, and we're really fortunate enough that we blew the tire we did, and, you know, 20 feet earlier in the corner, we would have knocked the fence down and probably would have been out of the race. So, I think we just felt really fortunate to still be in the race at that point. And then, really had to work on it a lot. It wasn't very good, you know, from being as good as it was until when we blew the tire to afterwards. I don't think we've had to make as many adjustments as we had to make on it. That car tonight was crazy. And then we finally got on the other side of it, and then we're able to kind of keep up with it the rest of the night. But, looking at it in victory lane after the race, I mean, it looked like we got done racing at Martinsville. So, you know, as much time as we spend, you know, tuning the bodies on these things and getting them aerodynamically perfect, it was crazy to see the car be that good and be that banged up.
All right, we're going to go Bob, Kenny, and then Jordan. Bob?
Bob Hoggers, Fox Sports. I had two for Cole. First, Goodyear told us that they recommended to you guys to raise air pressures. Did you do that?
Yeah, we did for sure. I mean, obviously, when you're in those scenarios when they're all popping, it's probably too much camber and too low air. It's not real rocket science when it comes to that. So we had to react and then rebalance the car around being higher on air.
And I was trying to listen to your radio near the end of the race, but I couldn't quite figure out, what were you asking the 38 to do? Were you asking them to drop back to you, or were you asking them to move? Can you kind of
explain? I was just hoping they would take the top. You know, I didn't want to have to be, like, stuck beyond the bottom of them, on the bottom going into one. So you never know how those are going to play out, but, you just try and do everything you can to give yourself the best chance to win.
Kenny
Bruce with KennyBruce.net. Cole, did the track change much tonight? A couple of guys I talked to said they were surprised that it really didn't change much, and they were adjusting, figuring that it was going to, and then it didn't, and they found themselves kind of playing catch up.
I don't know. I mean, probably the wrong guy to ask on that. We had to, you know, I think we were so focused on what we had going on balance-wise, we had to keep adjusting on it, yes. You know, I don't know if that was the track or just having to compensate the damage. You know, 9 knocked us in the left rear and re-flattened that, and we had a tire rub there. I mean, we had to do a play on the last pit stop just to get that pulled out, like we were doing an adjustment just to get it off the tire. So, I don't know. We wrenched on it about every stop.
All right. Get a microphone back to Jordan, please.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. Cole, mile-and-a-half racetracks have kind of been your bread and butter for the last few years. This year, kind of hit or miss. it seems like you kind of got your mojo back a little bit. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, we it's not been good for us, you know, here lately. I think, you know, we had a couple bad races at Texas and Kansas, and, you know, just trying to figure out this this new package, you know, it's been a challenge. And, you know, you kind of go down a path, and, you know, those you know, these weekends, how quick they go, you're kind of stuck with what you brought, and it doesn't work, and you're kind of in trouble. So it was it's been that way, and we just kind of refocused coming here with kind of a different game plan, and really, you know, took a positive attitude to it, and try and figure out what Martin needed. We worked on him a lot to, you know, embrace the package and drive it in a different way, and he did perfect tonight, and we did better for him. And you know, when you can compliment each other and both do better, it just you know, it shows a sign of how good a team we have.
All right, any questions upstairs in the press box? Okay, please go ahead.
This is Spencer of RacingBoys.com. Cole, kind of following up on what Jordan just asked, Martin said on Thursday that you guys needed to be better off the truck, and he felt that you guys had finally grasped that this weekend. Is there something, some way you change the strategy of what you guys do when you unload?
Yeah, we, you know, we've had probably a rough couple of weeks as far as that goes, and you know, took kind of a different approach this time, and felt like we just tried to learn from our mistakes that we had made before, and it seemed to go a lot better. You know, we I think for really the first time in a while, we came off the truck on Thursday, and the balance was really close, and everything was decent. So it was a good feel for us that way, and you know, it kind of continued into Saturday, and then, you know, we made the right adjustments going into today. So it was you know, for sure, a first weekend with kind of this 550 package. We've done that in a while, and feels good. I mean, we, you know, you just, I don't know, the other weekends that didn't go good, you're trying to get better, and you do what you think is right, and sometimes you go down a bad path, and you got to live with it. So, you know, we just worked on it and came with a better plan, and obviously it went better.
All right, go ahead.
Steve Reed from Associated Press. Joe, I was just curious what you thought of the pass, the four-wide pass there.
I got to tell you, I looked up several – there was so much happening tonight. And by the way, a great crowd. I really thought that was great for our sport. And there was a lot of action on the track, for sure. I was trying to keep track of our stuff because – we had three of our cars kept bouncing off the wall, and I think we finally wound up with our fourth car bouncing off at one point. I was trying to keep up with all that, but I do think some of the restarts and everything I saw, everybody was talking about it, that you got four abreast there a couple of times. And so I felt like for the weekend, just really super for our sport. A great, great attendance. I think it was an exciting race for a lot of ways. And so I thought it was a big deal for us, and I think a big step forward for our racing too. I think this year we're off to a good start in a lot of ways. We've had good racing. It's been close, and certainly tonight I think is one of our best nights.
All right, we'll continue with questions down here. If we can get a mic here in the middle, we'll go. Yep, Brendan. We'll start with Brendan, Chase, and then Jerry. Hang with me. There's a lot of questions. I'll get to everybody. Go ahead.
Hey, Cole, congratulations. Brendan Marshall, the Charlotte Observer. I know the race just ended, but how do you compare this win to the one back in 2016? And is one or the other more gratifying for any reason?
Yeah, I don't know. It's it's crazy to think back. That was 3 years ago. You know, that was just such a perfect night and so special in its own way. I mean, tonight was nothing like that night in any situation. But, you know, for us to... you know, kind of been as struggling like we've been on this package, and then have to regroup and then come here, you know, with a different plan and come out stronger of it, and have to win the race coming from behind like that is this one will definitely be one pretty special. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you compare the two of them. This we've had a really good run in the Coke 600s. I think you know, it's our fifth straight like top five or something like that, and to get another one is really cool. It's such a fun race to win.
Right, Chase, go ahead.
Chase Wilhelm, NASCAR.com. This one's for Cole. So after talking with Martin in Victory Lane, he said that the trouble early in the race kind of forced you guys to be more aggressive with this change in the car throughout the rest of the race. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, we weren't, we weren't doing quarter rounds and half rounds and stuff like that. We were doing multiple rounds and multiple times. So it was, it was a lot. And, just trying to figure out what was going on with the tires. And, it was the same batch number that was popping. So we were trying to sort them off the right front. And we couldn't really do that because we had so many of them. And we had a couple runs there where we just had to sit with our butt cheeks clenched together and hoping it wasn't going to blow again. And, yeah, there was a lot going on, that's for sure.
All right, we'll go Peter and then Jacob. We can get our microphone back to Peter. Thank you.
Peter Strada, TSJ Sports. Cole, what's it mean to win just days after your boss goes into the Hall of Fame?
Oh, yeah, really cool. I'm just happy that we're delivering. Obviously Coach and everybody at JGR made a big stretch to bring Martin and I in and our team and, have welcomed us with open arms. So, just gives you an insight in the short time that we've been there, how special of an organization it is and what special people they are. For us early on, a lot of times, Coach would call and give me a motivational speech even when I didn't know I needed one. And, you come away, ready to conquer the world. So I think just being able to be a part of that organization and be able to deliver and now, get some 19 win banners up on the shop wall is a great feeling.
All right, Jacob, go ahead.
Jacob Seelman, Speed Sport, one for each of you. First for Coach, with bringing Martin on this year, I know you obviously hired him expecting performances like what he's been able to do, but did you expect the transition for him over to the 19 team to be as seamless as it seemed to have been with three wins in the first 12 now?
Well, we were so excited. And Toyota, I just want to say a big thanks to them. They're always a big part of that strategy-wise. And, of course, by the fact that Cole and everything that happened with the 78 with Martin, they were in the Toyota camp. It's a big deal for us, and certainly we didn't want to lose them because, you could see how talented they were. And so it was a big deal for us. But, you never know when you make a move like that. It's a big deal. And I think particularly for them, Cole and Martin, working in a small group in a small environment, I was kind of worried when they came over with us, is that going to bother them? But certainly, I think you can kind of see they've hit their stride, and it's obviously great for us. I think in our technical meetings, I'll say this, all four of our teams sharing everything, drivers, crew chiefs, and nobody holds anything back. And I think it's the thrill of really this sport, which I really love, it's very unusual. You got four teams and four teams that have to work together. That's real teamwork. And, it's hard to get done. But our guys, I got to tell you, I think they really respect each other. The drivers do. The crew chiefs do. And, of course, that makes a big difference. And we got a great support group there that just works their guts up.
And for Cole, kind of playing off that, I'm kind of hidden over here to your left behind Caleb. Gotcha. There we go. Do you feel like the transition's gone as seamlessly as you've made it look? And to add to that, I mean, have you ever had a driver like Martin before where you two just seem to work so well together and click like you have?
Yeah, I guess the first part, the transition's, looking at it now, it's going well, but it's come with a lot of hard work. It's been a lot of an adjustment, when you land in a company like that we did, it's, you just got to thank your blessings and just realize how fortunate you are that, we could easily been out of a job and, here we are with a great organization and we're winning races. So just incredibly thankful for that. And, for me and Martin, it's always been an easy relationship between the two of us. And, I think I never, ever dreamt, that when, I kind of took over as crew chief that we'd be sitting here with, as many wins as we've had together. It just still blows my mind. Seemed like we were just hoping that we could knock out some top 10s and, looking back, what we've been able to do is great. And just, just so fortunate to work with so many specialty people on our team, and then now be part of a bigger organization with that many more special people. It's really cool. People are everything that makes a sport and makes a team, so it's really cool.
All right, Deb, we can get a microphone to Deb, please.
Deb Williams, theracingtoday.com. This is for Cole. Would you please detail the damage that occurred on the car when it hit the wall after it cut that tire?
Yeah, obviously knocked, both right sides, fenders, wheel openings in on the tires. So we had to clearance those. Fortunately, we didn't break anything suspension-wise. And then, we knocked the left rear in later in the race, and the 9 got into us, and we had to clearance that. So really, it was just a matter of just getting all the tires clear. And then, obviously the aero balance was appeared to be a lot more to the rear. We had to free the car up a ton to kind of get the balance back. So it was so hard when you're doing that to a tight car. You don't know if you're 1% too tight or 2% too tight or 5% too tight. So we just we kind of had to take stabs at it and narrowed in on it, and we're fortunate enough to get it balanced.
All right, we're going to take our final question for Cole and Coach. Actually, we'll take two more, one upstairs in the press box, and we'll come back down and take one from Brendan. Go ahead in the press box.
No further questions.
Okay, thank you. We'll come back down.
Hey, Cole, just to go back to something that Coach said. He said that, this is one of the races that was more exciting that he can remember. This is the one that sort of stands out. Do you sort of agree with that sentiment from your perspective? How did this shake out in the spectrum of races that we've had so far this year with this package?
Oh, I mean, for us, yeah, it's the wildest race we've ever won. I think I was just really happy that we were going to be able to run, and maybe we could, nurse out a good finish, and then somehow we fought through it and end up winning a stage and winning the race. So just easily the most wildest one I've been part of, and I think that's inherent with this rules package for sure.
All right, Greg, go ahead.
Greg Ingolato, Week. Coaches, for you, congratulations on your Hall of Fame. As a manager, and obviously you're kind of good at it, you talk about, Cole's talked about what he gets from the organization, what they get from the organization. What did these guys bring you to your organization that maybe helped, with the culture or anything within your team?
No, actually, the thing that I mentioned there, having four teams, when we were able to bring Cole over, so you got somebody that's real talented, and then by him fitting in the way he did with our other crew chiefs, that's the kind of a core group that's making a lot of decisions for us, and so I think it really lifted our program. And then when you look at the other part of it, then you got Martin fitting in with Eric, Denny, and Kyle, and I think he did the same thing there with our drivers. I think the four guys really respect each other, and like I mentioned, Cole and the crew chiefs. When you get that going for yourself, the chemistry there, then what you do is you kind of lift the whole program. And like I mentioned, it's so hard, I think, at least my experience has been, with four teams, it's hard. Normally there's somebody upset, somebody's not running well, and then at times – it's hard to get four groups to work together. We've been fortunate. I think Cole would testify the fact that we got a real, real neat group of guys together, and that's how you win, with good people and good teammates.
For Coach and Cole, congratulations on another Coca-Cola 600 victory, and we hope you guys have a great week celebrating this one. He's coming back. Okay, we'll look into it. All right. We've now officially been joined by our race winner, driver of the number 19, Bass Pro Shops, Tracker ATV and Boats, USO Toyota. That may be the longest sponsor here tonight for the Coca-Cola 600. But congratulations, Martin, your third win of the 2019 season. Now your third win here at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Talk a little bit about that win tonight, taking home your second Coca-Cola 600.
Well, it was definitely a tough race. It was a heck of a battle. You know, I thought early on in the race we were really strong, obviously, and felt like running away with that first stage. And, you know, 75 laps in or something like that, we were kind of checking out, and then just blew right front tire out of nowhere and hit the fence and thought, oh, man, this, you know, felt like our race was going to be over at that point. You know, I hit the wall pretty good and had a lot of damage and had tire rubs and all that. And just, you know, never gave up on it, kept working and kept fighting. And, you know, by like lap 250 or so, we got it dialed back into where it was pretty good. And pretty amazing, really. I mean, you know, to see the car after the race, it looks like we raced the damn thing in Martinsville. So I'm just kind of amazed. I'm kind of speechless. But, you know, thanks to my team, they did a great job. We just never gave up on it, and we kept working and kept tweaking. And, you know, the last, 100, 150 laps, it was really good. So just thankful for all of them for the hard work. And we got an awesome race team. And, you know, now that we got some momentum here and a little confidence on a mile and a half, that's a, you know, really good sign for us moving forward. So just overall a really good week for us. And, you know, I felt good going into the race, and it's nice to, you know, kind of back that up. So feels good, and pretty awesome weekend to win.
All right, we'll take questions now for Martin. Please raise your hand, state your name and affiliation, and we'll start here to our left.
Steve Reed from the Associated Press. Martin, take us through the pass. What were you thinking before, you know, as you were coming to the line? Did you execute it the way you wanted to? Just take us through what happened there.
What pass?
The one at the end. The restart.
The final restart.
The four wide, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, the final restart, we I first of all, I hated to see the caution because we were, you know, we were strolling away with it. But it's always – you just never know in these things. And, you know, the 6 had 2 tires. The 38 had none. And, you know, we were sitting third on 4. And, you know, I basically knew that whoever got out front first with 4 tires was probably going to win, you know, with a 4-lap shootout. You know, it's just, you know, you don't have enough time to get around somebody really, unless, you know, if it gets single file at all. So the leader had a big advantage tonight, I felt like, and anytime we could get out front, we could just drive away from them. So at that point, it was like, all right, just try to get your lane going. Newman's a good friend of mine, and he's, you know, he started in front of me, and I just tried to shove him as good as I could to try to get our line going. And, you know, with this package, you got to get the momentum going with your line. You can't just pull out and make it 3 wide or make a big move like that, because if the outside lane stays tight in line, they're going to just drive away from you. So I just tried to get our line going, just like, you know, we were pretty even going into one, the inside, the outside lane. You know, I was just pushing Ryan, trying to get him going. And then we came off of 2, and somehow they got 3 wide on that front row. And at that point, those 3 guys just kind of stalled out. And I had just enough momentum, I just yanked it left and said, here's my chance. You know, there was a hole to go there, and had just enough of a run to clear a few of them getting into 3. And then off of 4, I was just able to sneak up in front of the 22. So, I mean, by like a quarter of an inch. Literally, as soon as I got almost straight, he was on my bumper and I was sideways. So barely fit there. But, you know, it just worked out. We had an amazing car, but we could do that same restart 4 more times and lose all 4 of them. I mean, it's just – it's all momentum. It's all just, you know, the lane you're in, the way you time it. It just worked out. So you just never know, and I'm just thankful that we were able to get it done tonight, because we had a great race car. We had the best car at the end, so you hate to lose them in that situation.
All right, we're going to come up front to Jerry and then back to Jordan.
Jerry Jordan, kicking the tires out net. Obviously, early in the race, the damage and stuff. So you bring it home victory lane. Is it a driver? Is it crew chief? Is it the perfect combination? What was going through your head there as you were getting faster in the race with a damaged car?
You know, I mean, I didn't know how bad it was. You know, all I knew was how hard I hit the fence. And I was like, normally you hit it like that, it's going to be a long day, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I didn't know. I just kept telling Cole what I needed, you know, what the car was doing, and he just kept swinging at it. And, you know, the first couple stops after the damage, we were pretty bad. You know, we stayed out at one point to try to get a little track position back, and we were just plowing tight. And we fell back, I think, to 16th or 17th or something on that one run where we stayed out on older tires, and guys had tires, and it was like, you got to take a bigger swing at it, you know. At that point, I didn't know that we could ever get it going. You know, I was just telling them what it was doing. I'm like, it's still just plowing tight. You just keep trying. And they finally, we got to a point around, I want to say it was around lap 200, where we actually got on the other side of it and got too loose. And I was like, okay, maybe we do have a chance. It was, we were pretty quick that run. And, you know, just tuned on it from there. So I don't know. You know, honestly, I don't know what it was. Maybe it's this package. But, I mean, I know that we tweak and go to the wind tunnel and we do these tiny little changes in practice for, you know, to give away, you know, for the drag downforce deal. It's like, do you want more downforce? Do you want less drag? And, I mean, they just tweak little tiny things that you can't even see. And that thing, like I said, looked like we raced it at Martinsville. I mean, it was bashed. The whole right side was flat. It was all beat up. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll hit the wall again. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But just pretty amazed, really.
All right, we're going to Jordan.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. Martin, how do you feel after 600 miles? Does it feel like you exerted yourself quite a bit? Does it feel different than 500 miles, or is it just kind of normal?
No, I feel good. I mean, my workout program really works. And what are you laughing at? I feel awesome. I have a little bit of a headache, and I had to go to the bathroom, obviously. That's where I went. I haven't peed since 5 o'clock. So, yeah, you're welcome. That's the number one question we get asked by the fans. What do you do if you have to go to the bathroom in the car? So, I mean, I'm just letting NASCAR know, everybody, all the NASCAR fans out there know that I held it until, is this watch on time? Is it 10 minutes to 1? So my trophy watch is even set. But, yeah, I held it for 6 hours and 50 minutes. See if anybody else here can do that. After drinking like 4 gallons of water.
That is impressive.
That's how I feel. Awesome.
All right, we're going to go up to the press box. Go ahead.
Jim Mother, Motorsport.com. Martin, when Cole was in earlier, he talked about how you guys as a team and you as a driver have had to make adjustments to be to find your competitive way with this rules package. I just wondered, for you as a driver, has it been a difficult process to get accustomed to finding what you need to be competitive on the track? And are you having to do things that you've been unaccustomed to do before?
To answer your question, I mean, I think that's kind of – I had a media session this week, and that's kind of what I talked about was that, you know, it's definitely been difficult for me, and I think for us as a team, it's just – it's so different than what we've been doing for the last couple of years. And, you know, with the success we've had, you know, it's hard to change. It's hard to say, hey, we can't keep doing that stuff we were doing before. And so we had to look at it all differently. And I think, you know, our guys are – Cole and James and them and our engineers, everybody's really, really smart. And I just kind of buy into whatever they think, whatever direction they think we need to go. I just continue to give them input and you know, my opinion on things. And I feel like a good job of communicating and working together. And, you know, I can take criticism from them and vice versa without getting upset or getting our feelings hurt. You know, we go in there and lay it out. We lay it all on the table. And, you know, I know when I did a good job because they tell me. And, you know, I know that they are smart enough to know if I did a good job or not. So it means a lot when they say it, like tonight. But, yeah, to answer your question, I mean, it's definitely been tough. It's been a lot different. And I've had to change a lot of things in the way I drive the car and the way the car feels and all those type of things. So we just had to be, you know, open and honest and continue to work on it. It's been a challenge.
All right, we're kind of going to come back down to Bob, and then Daniel, and then Brendan. Bob?
Bob, you look tired.
I am a little tired.
Yeah.
Bob Hawkhurst, Fox Sports. What happened when you got into the back of the lap car, and did it cause any additional damage to your car?
I'm not sure on damage. You know, he gave me the bottom going into one and ran in the middle, which was where the VHT, pretty much the only place the VHT was still a little bit sticky on the track, was the middle one and two, middle groove, and everybody was running there. That's really where I wanted to run. I was super, super tight at that point, and he gave me the very bottom. And I went down there and got kind of beside him, and then I just lost the nose. It just took off pushing, and I let off the throttle, and it just shot up the track into it and barely clipped his left rear. So I hated to do that, obviously. It was definitely not intentional. Just one of those things where the bottom lane on the long runs in one and two got so slick. Like, you'd just go down there and you'd make it halfway around the corner and you'd think you're doing good, and all of a sudden the thing would just take off to the right. So, yeah, that's what happened there. Yeah.
All right.
I don't understand why you asked me that, though. What's the point? Yeah, I was just curious. Like, that was a big deal in the race or something?
Well, I wasn't sure whether you were just like, if lap traffic's got to get out of my way, or...
Oh, I got you. Yeah, no, it was... No, I didn't do what the two car did at the end. That was... You tell me that wasn't a little strange. Yeah. Then they did it. Never mind. I'm not even going to go there. But no, it was an accident, totally. Yeah. If you look at my data, you'll see I just lifted and was like cranked to the left and went straight. So, yeah.
All Sorry. Right, next question.
Turning left.
Dale McFadden with NBC Sports. Martin, with this race, Richmond earlier this year and Martinsville last year, going head-to-head in Joey Logano, after those a trilogy of close finishes like that, just what is your assessment of Joey Logano when it comes to a head-to-head situation like you've been with him now three times?
He's a hard, you know, tough competitor. You know, a guy that's tough to beat. He's always up front. So, I mean, yeah, he's a great driver, and he's, you know, him and his team do a great job of being in position to win races. And, you know, this is the kind of guys you like to beat. So feels good to win tonight against him.
All right. Microphone right here to Brendan.
Brendan Marks from the Charlotte Observer. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Coach was saying a little bit earlier how there was so much going on in this race that it was almost sort of hard to keep track of. How do you compare this one from the one in 16? Can you compare those? I know the race just ended, and is one or the other more gratifying for whatever reason?
I mean, they're both really big wins. I don't really know how to put that one, but definitely way crazier tonight. I mean, excuse me. You know, 16 was just like lights out. It just was like just kind of going through the motions. Everything went perfectly. Everything went exactly the way we needed it to. You know, and that's why we were able to lead so many laps. Tonight was a challenge, you know, to say the least. And I never thought after we hit the fence and had that flat, I never thought that we would have a shot at winning, you know, until probably halfway through the race. And then I was like, ooh, we got a chance again. You know, I can't really believe it, but hey, this is cool, you know? And so it's always fun to win races that are like that. I mean, I've never hit the fence and won a race before, so it's cool the first time. I mean, that's like hero stuff. So it was pretty cool to be able to do that. I mean, you watch other guys do it, you're like, how the hell did they do that? You know, car's destroyed. And so that was really, that's pretty cool, I think. And that's why, you know, when I seen the car in Victory Lane, I was like, dang, man, that thing's it's beat all to hell. So it's pretty cool to be able to win one like that. I've never done that before.
All right. I believe I had a question over here in the affiliate area. Do you have a question? Did you have one?
Chris Murdoch, Race Chaser Media. Martin, you alluded to it earlier, but, you know, what were you feeling throughout the race with the PJ1 compound and, you know, from the start of the race all the way to the end? What were you feeling out there on the track?
Well, it definitely changed a lot. You know, I would say that the track never really gripped up much after it got dark, which kind of I think everybody kind of expected it to. I felt like it didn't. I felt like the PJ1, especially in 3 and 4, you know, they NASCAR tests the track and tests the, somehow they think they can figure out how much grip is in what lane and this and that. And they're, you know, they said that 3 and 4 was supposed to have more grip than 1 and 2, and I felt like it was the opposite. I felt like 3 and 4 was slicker than even last weekend. And the PJ1 just seemed like it was almost non-existent. It felt like it was there just a little bit early in the race and then just was gone. But 1 and 2, it kind of stayed, I felt like, a little bit better. So I don't know. It's hard to say. The track never really changed a whole lot, I don't think. But the PJ1 definitely, I felt like, lost some grip. And the bottom of 3 and 4 got to where it was pretty much the best place to run. And 1 and 2 in the PJ1 was definitely the best place to run, especially in the long run. So I don't know. It's kind of weird. A little bit different than everybody expected, I think.
All right, we'll go Jacob and then to Peter. Jacob.
Jacob Zielman, Speed Sport. Two questions for you, Martin. First, when Cole and Coach were in here earlier, they were talking about, I asked them about the transition from Furniture Row now to the 19 team. How do you feel like the transition has been? Has it been as seamless as you hoped it would be?
Oh yeah, for sure. It's been really good. I mean, you know, obviously to be sitting here halfway through the regular season with three wins is a big deal. And you know, I feel at home there. I feel like you know, I'm part of the team, and you know, I know the way things work, and I know what they expect of me, and I'm really comfortable, you know, being myself, and you know, just really have been having fun. So it's a lot of work. It's a big challenge to, you know, win races at this level, but I've definitely really enjoyed it. And you know, looking forward to hopefully just continuing to, you know, do what they brought me there to do.
And in regards to the car, I know you guys were chasing it after you tagged the wall there in the first stage, but it seemed like it really also came to life when the sun went
went down and the lights came on. Do you feel like the track change from day to night was something that helped you guys, or was that something you could tell?
You know, after we hit the wall, the car changed so drastically that I really don't know how to answer your question. Like, I don't know, you know, I don't really know how it changed, because that actually, just that one lap, you know, changed our car so drastically that it took us, you know, like I said earlier, probably 125 laps, literally. I mean, it was like around lap 75 when we hit the fence, and then it's probably 200 or so into the halfway, you know, through the race before we got it close again. So I really don't know. I think it was just I felt like if we didn't have that flat tire and hit the fence, that it would have been like 2016 again. I mean, it was that good before that happened. So, with that said, I would have a better answer for you if we didn't hit the fence. I really don't know how the track changed.
All right, Peter, go ahead.
Peter Schrott at TSJ Sports. Martin, you earned your third win at the Charlotte Oval tonight, and a few weeks ago you earned your third win at Dover. Do you consider one of them to be your best track?
Oh, that's a good question. I think they've both been good for us over the years, especially you know, the last few. And I consider them two of the most challenging and difficult tracks we go to. And so, you know, for those two to be, you know, where I've won the most races of my career, that's really cool, because they're tough tracks and you want to win at the places that are really hard and really difficult. So with that said, I would say that even though this is asphalt and that's concrete and that's a mile and this is a mile and a half and all the differences, that there is some similarities in the feel of the car and just the roughness of the racetrack and those kind of things that, you know, that maybe that's kind of played into it a little bit.
All right. Noah, did you have a question? Okay, go ahead.
Noah Lewis, TSJ Sports. Martin, we've had this new package for a little while now, and I think we've seen the best of its abilities tonight and in Kansas. Do you have any pros to the package that you like more than last year, or anything that you don't like more than last year?
I don't really get paid to have an opinion. I get paid to win, so it's still difficult in traffic. They're, you know, they drive awful in traffic, I'll be honest, you know, and I don't know how we fix that. It's all about restarts and pit stops. That's really what it is. I mean, once you get out front, you're gone. Luckily for us, our car was fast enough when we got out front tonight, we could hold them off. But, you know, it's really difficult to pass. It's really difficult in traffic. I don't know. You know, I guess at the end of the day, it's really doesn't matter what I think. It matters what the fans think and what NASCAR and what everybody thinks of the show and what they think of the racing. So I'm just glad that we've been able to win with this package, because I know we're going to have it for a while, and, you know, just try to run with that momentum.
All right. I believe I had one final question over here.
Tom Baker, Race Chaser Online. Want to ask you about the moment of silence that we had during the race, Martin, because I know I've been around the sport for over 30 years, and I don't think I've ever seen or felt anything quite like that at a racetrack. And I'm curious what that was like for you from the driver's point of view. Were you able to sort of detach from the race thoughts long enough to really feel that and experience that? What was that like for you?
You know, I think for us in the car, it was hard to tell really what was going on. I mean, you're so focused where, you know, we've been out there for, I don't know, 3 hours or something already. And honestly, for us, it was just time to take a break. And I just kind of closed my eyes for a minute and tried to relax. And I don't really know. It just was, kind of a break. I don't know that I even thought much about what was going on. It's hard to say. You know, you're so in the zone and thinking about all the stuff in the race and your head spinning, so it just felt like kind of a red flag type situation to me.
And Martin, one final question. 12 years ago, you won at Dover your first Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race with Bass Pro as your sponsor. Tonight, you brought home another victory 12 years later with them. They've been with you much of your career. What does it mean to have that kind of support from Johnny Morris and his team at Bass Pro?
Well, I was definitely happy he was here tonight. He's one of the funnest people ever to be around in general, but when in Victory Lane, it's really special. And it was really cool to get to do the interview on Fox on the race broadcast from Victory Lane and have him with me on my side. And he had a special message for everybody. He's a special guy, and to see his enthusiasm and his love of our country and, you know, telling stories about his dad and you know, being in the military and fighting in the Battle of the Bulge and all those things. I mean, it's just he's a special guy. And so I'm very fortunate to call him a friend. He's supported my racing career for a long, long time. And honestly, without him, there's no way I'd be sitting here. So very special to have him here this weekend, and I'm glad he came to the race. He kept asking me, you know, we won in the auto owner's car, we won in the Sirius XM car, and they were all, he's like, every time you got blue in your car, you win. So he's like, he texted me this week, he's like, how's that blue working out? Because, you know, we had the red, white, blue paint scheme. So it's just awesome to have his support and his support of his company and all the people that work for Bass Pro and Cabela's, and yeah, just, you know, special guy.
All right. Well, congratulations on another win here at Charlotte, and enjoy celebrating this one.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.